This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Wild weather impacting much of the nation as people across New York and New Jersey are cleaning up today after severe storms yesterday with wind gusts as high as 65 miles an hour. This woman in Teaneck, New Jersey says a tree came down on her home.
Listen, we're in the middle of unprecedented crisis, right? So for me, I'm just focusing on the fact that at least it's during the daytime and, you know, when I can still see to gather candles and be prepared for later on.
From Texas to Maine, 500,000 homes and businesses have no power this morning because of those storms. Arkansas, the hardest hit, as more than 106,000 homes and businesses are currently without power. The coronavirus has now infected nearly 2 million people around the world, and nearly 120,000 people have died, according to researchers at Johns Hopkins University. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world, one life at a time.
I attribute your products to keeping me cold-free. I've been on it for at least 2 years. I have not had a cold since, nor have I ever had flu, and my health is good. So I attribute that to my good health. The product is excellent.
Balance of Nature is now offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
Hi, this is Dr. Phil. The new coronavirus called COVID-19 is spreading in China and beyond. While CDC is working to stop the spread of the virus, we can all play a role in stopping this deadly disease. The CDC Foundation is a nonprofit organization supporting emergency response efforts in the United States and around the world. To get updates and learn how to protect friends and loved ones, find out how to help by going to cdcfoundation.org.
The United Food and Commercial Workers Union is pushing for safety changes after 5 grocery workers in Michigan died after being exposed to the coronavirus. The union says workers are being exposed to it nationwide, and at least 30 have died across the country. Union officials want the federal government to provide personal protective equipment to grocery workers the same way that PPE has been going to first responders and medical workers. Anchor Chris Cuomo is lashing out against his employer, CNN. The longtime host went off on his Sirius XM radio show, bashing his primetime gig and criticizing President Trump. Cuomo said his battle with COVID-19 has made him rethink his values and question his position as a public figure. Speaking about his job as the host of CNN's Cuomo Prime Time, he said he doesn't want to spend his time trafficking ridiculous stories and wants to stop analyzing President Trump. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
South Korea's military saying North Korea fired a number of suspected cruise missiles towards the sea on Tuesday. The test coming one day before parliamentary elections in South Korea and a day before the 108th birthday of North Korea founder Kim Il-sung, the grandfather of the current leader Kim Jong-un. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff saying the missiles were fired from the east coast of the Korean Peninsula and came down in the Sea of Japan. North Korea is under United Nations sanctions against its banned weapons programs. Oklahoma could soon perform coronavirus tests on everyone who dies in the state. The state medical examiner's office saying testing everyone who dies for COVID-19 would give health officials a better look at the number of cases statewide. Officials telling reporters the medical examiner's office needs more than 8,000 kits to do coronavirus testing for the next year. TV host Ryan Seacrest is making a generous donation to aid first responders in Los Angeles as well as New York City during the global health crisis. Seacrest is putting up $1 million to coronavirus relief efforts. Three-quarters of the money will be going to the First Responders Children's Foundation, which will be used to help house and feed 200 first responders with New York City Fire Department and EMTs. Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day as we come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And we're going to start off with Dr. Lauren Wright, the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University. Always the voice of calm, peace, and reason. Don't you like that I put that all on you?
What a compliment. Very nice. Thank
well,
you, Bill.
You are. I always appreciate your perspective and balance here.
Likewise.
Because, every once in a while, it does get to me as you and I continue to filter out this information that we're being pulverized with. And as we were talking just a moment ago, the challenge is, you know, getting down to the truth of the matter. You know, it's, you know, the Chinese are telling us one thing, other indices are that, you know, we're getting worked here. You know, we were told at one time hundreds of thousands to maybe 200,000 people are going to be dying. We were envisioning body bags out in the street. And here it is. You know, Trump had originally said aspirationally that maybe by Easter we'd be able to go into the next phase. And it looks like he might be closer to right than wrong in that.
Well, I hope he is. I hope we get back to normal sooner than later. But I think one thing nobody wants to see is to have another uptick because everyone goes back to normal life too soon. And that is the consensus of experts that I've at least heard on this. And, you know, the numbers, we talk about the numbers and the modeling, but what really is still important is just that people's everyday lives are being so affected by this and their finances and the economy, and they feel it. So whether it's 50,000 people or 100,000 people, it's too many people. We want to do as well as we can, and people are hurting, and that's the real metric that matters.
Well, I think when you talk about social hygiene and distancing and some of these things that we've been forced to enact, we should have been enacting those a long time ago when you look at the flu virus and how many people die routinely every year. Businesses aren't stopped. The government isn't stopped. You know, they're probably going to end up with about, I mean, already it's over 60,000 have perished from the flu, both strains A and B. We're probably saying now maybe about 30,000 we may end up, you know, with COVID-19. But the takeaway for me, Lauren, is that no doubt life is going to change. We're not going to necessarily be huggy-touchy, handshaking like we were in the past. Social distancing will be the order of the day, no doubt.
I think that's true. I think we're going to have to take a hard look at preparedness, and that's something the federal government is going to have to spend a lot of time on. And then people with their everyday everyday routines will change. And, you know, to the credit of people across the U.S., we were so worried at the beginning of these guidelines that we wouldn't have high compliance, but we have. And and that's really the reason Dr. Fauci and others have said that we aren't seeing the numbers that we expected, because people have been paying close attention and they've been following the rules for the most part, and everyone's chipping in.
Exactly. Well, this is America. This is what we do. I mean, we realize that it starts with each individual citizen in self-responsibility. You know, if we're managing ourselves, then, you know, our family will follow. You know, the community is in a sense kind of self-policing. You know, they don't want people to go out there and take risk and put their family at risk. And so, you know, they're calling people out, and as a result, you know, that's what you have when you have compliance, is you get a little bit of the communal compliance pressure, right?
That's right. And, you know, and one thing I hope does come out of this, you know, both at a national and local level, is just we need to reward governments more and politicians more for preparing and for successes that we can't necessarily observe, rather than just crisis response after crisis response, because we don't often see the really hard work and planning that goes on behind the scenes, but we should look for it and we should highlight it in the media, because that's really what we should be rewarding office holders for, is what is your plan for the next time something like this happens, and how are you going to protect me ahead of time, whether you're in office or not, right? We just need to be a little more farsighted. I hope we can be.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, we spoke with an expat in Taiwan. She's an attorney, and she survived the quarantine area. They were out of it in about 4 to 6 weeks, and the big takeaway from the conversation with her that I got, Lauren, was that Taiwan learned a lot from the SARS virus that went out, and they really tooled up and were very proactive. So things were already in play and in operation, like, you know, massive checking of people, of their temperature, PPE equipment, all this sort of thing, because of what they experienced from SARS. And I'm going, wait a minute, the United States, we experienced that. Why didn't we take away similar action points like Taiwan? Taiwan certainly, you know, a lot smaller, only 21, 23 million people.
That's important.
But also a smart move on their part. And to your point about acknowledging smart people for, you know, doing smart things, you know, that's important. But, you know, I thought that was an important takeaway from my conversation with Juanita Ingram.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes the way our government is designed prevents things from happening very quickly. And that's how the founders intended it. They wanted people to negotiate and think about things, and they wanted divided government to be forced to work together. But in a national health crisis, we do have to get the wheels turning much faster. And so it's sort of an exception to that rule. But to your point about international cooperation, it made me just think about that. I think Trump has an opportunity here with wet markets to really be an international leader on stopping those, because experts have said, and it shouldn't be controversial, because experts have said that, you know, this disease came from wet markets and that practice needs to end. And so I do think it's a unique issue where there's animal rights activists behind it and health activists behind it, and then people who just want us to tighten up these restrictions and stop practices that put everyone in danger. And that's just what the research shows. And I think there's a real chance there for a cross-cutting issue where many different people agree.
Mm-hmm. I would agree, Lauren, that wet markets should be out. I think what we're finding out, though, is there's a little bit more behind it, and maybe there's some misinformation coming from the CCP regarding the wet markets. They want us to believe that it originated there, but what we're finding out in 2018, the government, our government, was involved in research for this virus and realized that it was too dangerous, so they stepped away. The Chinese continued on with this, and according to the latest report, this research was being done out of the Wuhan laboratory. So their alleged statement that it came from bats does not seem to be substantiated, furthered by the investigation of the wet markets and what they were selling at the time, and they said bats were not on the menu at the time.
Right, but just the practice and the sanitation surrounding it is really dangerous.
Oh,
and so whether
I
you're
agree.
Talking about this outbreak or others which have been caused, it is something I think there needs to be accountability on internationally and pressure applied. And you know, our administration is in a difficult position right now because they're negotiating with China and collaborating with them on certain things, but we do still need to be tough on China and hold them accountable for certain practices. And I hope we're held accountable for our practices, but it's just one where there has been sufficient research for some action and proactive planning.
I would agree. For the most part, it's a no-brainer. We've got more from Dr. Lauren Wright after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Biff Martinez.
People hang on his every word, even the prepositions. He could disarm you with his looks or his hands. Either way, he can speak French in Russian. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Bill Martinez live.
Fresh and independent we are as we come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And our conversation continues with Dr. Lauren Wright, the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University. No doubt when the final analysis is registered on this, Dr. Wright, that there are going to be some no-brainer activities, whether it's social hygiene, whether it's, to your point, regarding the wet markets. I mean, the fact that this has been going on for so long, and this is not the first time we've had a problem from the wet markets, is it?
It's not. There have been several instances, and, I think this issue has been politicized recently, and it's a highly sensitive issue, and I understand that. But just if you look at the research and look at experts on this, health experts and researchers, there seems to be a consensus that this is a real problem, and it does put people at risk. But I think you're right, life will change. I think more people will wear masks and gloves and will be much more careful. And so, I look forward to the time where we are looking back at this, but we still have an uphill battle for now, it seems.
Well, no doubt, like in any crisis, opportunity is in the midst of it. And hopefully we take full advantage of the opportunity. After all, this is going to be at the expense of some, 20,000-30,000 American citizens. I think we owe it to them to draw the most out of this crisis as possible. And when I say draw it out, the good, bad, the ugly, but obviously at the end of the day that we're better as a result of the investment of humanity and the cost to our government, our labor force, and our economy.
I agree. I hope there can be a silver lining from a preparedness standpoint. And I do think we're starting to see some collaboration between Congress, which shows people, hopefully, that Congress can get over partisan divides and help people in a crisis. But people are watching very closely
exactly
what they're doing in the House and the Senate, so they need to be aware.
They have no choice because they're going to pay for it real soon.
That's right.
Come the elections. Speaking of which, President Trump was kind of chiding Biden and Obama the other day and saying, what's up? I mean, here we've got Bernie Sanders out. Why is former President Obama holding back from endorsing Joe Biden?
Well, I think it's a time where everyone's focused on coronavirus, frankly, and I think Joe Biden is sensitive to that, and President Obama is sensitive to that, and I wish President Trump would be more sensitive to that and stop attacking Chris Wallace and Democrats and just this really unnecessary personal attack mode that he goes into that hurts him. And his supporters will surely criticize me for criticizing the administration, but it's for everyone's interest who's on
exactly
President Trump's side. You don't want him to shoot himself in the foot either, presumably.
Right. Well, it's been 3 years of this. Some
yeah
of it, I think, has been amusing, for his own self-amusement. But the other part, I'm like you. I shake my head. Why do you have to bring that into play here? Is it that just that New Yorker state of mind, that kind of orneriness that you just need to, pick on something or someone, and that kind of deal? But no doubt, with Joe Biden right now losing a lot of the headlines, to the point that Governor Cuomo getting more notoriety than he as the presumptive nominee for the Democratic presidential nomination, he needs a bit of a breakthrough, to bring him back to the forefront, because even his statements, about the coronavirus, I think that, give Donald Trump some credit. He said that he had a very positive phone call with Joe Biden, heard what he said, would consider some of the suggestions that the vice president had made. And I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, like you said. Okay, there's going to be a jab there somewhere, but he didn't. He kept it pretty positive.
Well, I'm glad. And, And Joe Biden is in a tough position because he's not in government right now. Andrew Cuomo, in real time, has a chance to show his leadership skills. President Trump, in real time, has a chance to show his leadership skills. And he takes away from that so much when he blames and when he lies and when he says, I'm not responsible. And that's something that I just have... You know, I really haven't seen a president do that before.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not the typical president coming from the typical whoop and warp from where we've drawn presidents before, whether it be the military, former congressmen, governors. He came out of nowhere, and I think that's what makes it challenging, I think, for all of us, you know, the good, bad, and ugly of Donald Trump, you know, to sometimes swallow because, you know, like I said, I find myself shaking my head and going, why? You know, it's so unnecessary. You're looking good here, and then you shoot yourself in the foot. I also wanted to bring up, you had some insight in terms of, you know, speaking of the Trump White House right now, a lot of changes going on. What are we to make of what's happening in the East Wing?
There are a lot of changes, and the East Wing, I think, doesn't get enough attention. And, you know, my first book was all about just the importance of first ladies for White House and campaign messaging, and Melania Trump is no different. So I've seen her get more active recently. She's making these public service announcements. She's talking about masks. Those are the kinds of things first ladies excel at, and it's really because they're in a unique position. People don't view them as much as partisan players. They're still seen as outsiders, and they're seen, as unofficial members of the administration, which they are. But Melania Trump has been reluctant to take on that kind of role. So I'm really interested with her staff changes to see if maybe there's a change. And sometimes that happens between the first and second first and second terms of an administration. First ladies get more strategic with their public responses. So I still say, you know, she has not been out and has not communicated as often with the public as her predecessors, but she has a lot of those attributes that do make first ladies successful. And, you know, it's an unfair expectation, but she's in the best possible position to push forward the administration's agenda. Mm-hmm. And so it's one area, again, where the Trump administration is not typical. She has not been an active advocate on behalf of her husband's policies.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think she's an underused asset because the times when she comes out, yes, that people have taken unfair shots of her and stuff like that, but she... But she takes it. I mean, she handles it. She's, as we would say in the vernacular, she's a big girl. And she's very classy about how she, how she conducts herself. And I think she gets positive marks, from everyday Americans. And I agree with your point. I think that President Trump needs to utilize her as an asset and, what she can do in terms of being able to offer some encouragement to the people.
Yeah, and you know, it's only if she wants to. And I'm teaching a class on women in politics right now, and we're talking a lot about this. But, you know, to expect first ladies to drop everything they're doing and go out and be a soldier for the administration is a gendered expectation, and that's not fair.
Right.
But when they do it, they're highly effective. So it's a really tough position. But, yeah, Melania, she still has the highest popularity of anyone in the administration. She still, according to my research, is able to mobilize independents more than any other surrogate that I've seen. And so we will see whether she wants to make the sacrifice to play that role. But if she doesn't, it's still a sort of contribution to future first ladies who might look at her and say, I can do what I want and I might not have to take on that role. She's an interesting figure in a lot of ways.
And oh, by the way, she's still raising a son, right?
Right. And I think that's actually one of the many perspectives she has that would make her an effective messenger because she has that shared experience with millions of Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got about 50 seconds left, Lauren. Real quick, when do you see the opening of the government and small businesses start to open up for business again? we do need to be careful, and I appreciate your example. Dr. Lauren Wright, the Associate Research Scholar and Lecturer in Politics and Public Affairs at Princeton University. Lauren, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill.
This report is sponsored by Facebook. Since the beginning of the spread of COVID-19 and social distancing, people have turned to Facebook to connect with and take action to help their communities. To make it as easy as possible for people to support one another, Facebook is launching Community Help, a destination for people to help their neighbors most impacted by COVID-19. There, people can request or offer help in their community, such as delivering groceries to elderly neighbors or volunteering to distribute food through local food banks and donate to fundraisers. Emily Dalton Smith is the Director of Social Impact Product at Facebook.
We're seeing people who are the most vulnerable are at the front lines of the epidemic using Facebook to get help and support with urgent needs. With Community Help, we're making it easier for everyone to be able to offer and request help.
Access Community Help at facebook.com/COVID support. That's facebook.com/COVID support.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Wild weather impacting much of the nation as people across New York and New Jersey are cleaning up today after severe storms yesterday with wind gusts as high as 65 miles an hour. This woman in Teaneck, New Jersey says a tree came down on her home.
Listen, we're in the middle of unprecedented crisis, right? So for me, I'm just focusing on the fact that at least it's during the daytime and, you know, when I can still see to gather candles and be prepared for later on.
From Texas to Maine, 500,000 homes and businesses have no power this morning because of those storms. Arkansas, the hardest hit, as more than 106,000 homes and businesses are currently without power. The coronavirus has now infected nearly 2 million people around the world, and nearly 120,000 people have died, according to researchers at Johns Hopkins University. This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
He really didn't say that, did he? Bill Martinez.
The risk to New Yorkers for coronavirus is low, and our city preparedness is high.
This should not stop you from going about your life, should not stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat. I'm going to do that today myself.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
There is no concern at this time for coronavirus in our region.
The Department of Sanitation is ready for Mardi Gras 2020.
The facts are reassuring.
We want New Yorkers to go about their daily lives.
But there's really no need to panic and to avoid activities that we always do as New Yorkers. We are hardy people.
Americans do not need to panic. What I would suggest, however, is that Americans take this as a wake-up call for seasonal flu.
There's very little threat here. This disease, even if you were to get it, basically acts like a common cold or flu.
So we're telling New Yorkers, go about your lives, take the subway, go out, enjoy life, and certainly not to miss the parade next Sunday. I'm going to be there.
If you had to, would you close down the borders?
No.
We need to be honest about the American people, with the American people about the fact
that we can't keep people coming here from China.
And transmission is not that easy. I think there's been a misperception that coronavirus hangs in the air waiting to catch you. No, it takes direct person-to-person contact.
We also know that if it were likely to be transmitted casually, we would be seeing a lot more cases.
Right,
because this is New York, and you're in elevators and trains with everybody all the time.
It's amazing, right? I mean, is it any wonder America has been confused? And, you know, these are mostly liberals that we're talking. I mean, you know, Nancy Pelosi, you could obviously discern her voice. Congresswomen, senators, all making statements, all people thinking that they knew more about COVID-19. And I'm sure if they heard themselves again, they'd be like, oh, gosh, I probably maybe should take that back, or I shouldn't have said that. Or I've got to find some excuse to say, well, the reason I said something so stupid is because I'm not as smart. I wasn't as smart then as I am now. I'm much smarter now, so you can trust me and believe me now, right? This is Bill Martinez. Great to have you with us. Jeff Dickens joins us now. Jeff is the Deputy Research Director at the Media Research Center. Jeffrey, the one thing about opinions, everybody has one, right?
Right. True. It's a turn me on.
And here we are now. What you are writing about is that we got the top 10 celebrity attacks on Trump's handling of the pandemic. And you got to know, about as rich as that bumper was with the different talking heads and, you know, news folk and all that, you know, the celebrities, they're just so much fun because they really add such a level of intellect to the whole conversation, don't they?
Yes, right. It's, what I've been doing actually for the past almost month is just taking and finding the worst of the worst of celebrities and journalists and posting them. And this week we've got the top 10 worst of celebrity outbursts of last week from Larry David and your usual host, Jimmy Kimmel, and John Oliver. And they've just been Seth Meyers, and he's been really, really obnoxious.
Well, you think they would be? You think they'd be embarrassed, Jeff? You know, with this stuff. But it's, you know, that's unfortunately, this is the pig pile that goes on, especially with the media, because you know, like comedians, when they panic, you know, that's when you hear the F word. And you know, I've been in some presentations. I remember, you know, George Carlin, I thought had such a command of the language. I thought he was brilliant and so articulate. And I went to one of his concerts. And, you know, of course, the F word was very liberally used. And he didn't need that. I mean, because he was just so smart in any other way. And at the very end, he did this kind of rattling, you know, gunfire of, you know, effing the people and effing the government and everybody else. And I mean, it was really stupid. And the people stood up and gave him a standing ovation. I go, that's not funny. You know?
Right. No, I know. It's just the use of a bad word is like, that doesn't take any talent.
No.
So, but yeah, you go to this quote, I should warn your audience. If you go to this, newsbusters.org and you look up this article, there is some bad language, because that's, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, the show producer, Amy Lassner, uses the, and I won't say because I won't get in trouble.
Right, thank you.
Uses the MF word. It's just this very, you know, it's who they are.
Yes. Well, you know, we've got congresswomen, you know, with the liberal use. And, you know, there's a call to decency. Maybe after all this is said and done, you know, that there is a bit of renewal in this country and return to decency and civility, you know, through the pressure of this COVID-19. Because if nothing else, it has really scared the hell out of a lot of people, has it not?
It has. And, I may be a little cynical because I remember we had that sense of unity after 9/11, and then it kind of...
Yeah, for about 3 weeks.
I mean, it's just kind of who we are in the human nature, and, you know, people sort of break apart. But, yeah, you would wish that we could kind of come together. I have friends that are liberals. I'm personally conservative, but I have friends that are liberals and Democrats. You know, I wish we could sort of stop looking at each other that way. But it's hard, because it's, you know, it's just everyone kind of goes to their camps, and... It's now it's like you can't just beat someone at the ballot box, you have to destroy them on a personal level. And these celebrities, I mean, they're saying whatever you think of Donald Trump, I mean, this is disgusting what they're saying. Like, the most despicable president ever. Thousands will die on his watch.
Yeah.
That was
Trump's deadlier than Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, that was really obnoxious. That was Borat director,
right.
Former Seinfeld staffer, writer Larry Charles. Hundreds of thousands will die to evil Trump. Hatred of conservative causing thousands of death. Yeah, that was Sarah Silverman. She's the usual suspect. She doesn't even see the irony. Like, she talks about, like, getting out of hatred, and then she expresses hatred to Trump supporters.
Yes, exactly. No, it's on and on, as you say, you know, Jason Alexander from Seinfeld, thousands will die thanks to most despicable president ever. It certainly, at the end of all this, there's going to be, you know, plenty of blame to go around. I mean, let's remember, Trump's been on the scene, what, for 3 years plus some months. And, you know, all the stuff that was done by governors, Governor Cuomo, for example, in taking public money to build the health infrastructure, and here he is yelling and complaining because he didn't have enough ventilators, but he chose to spend billions of dollars for green energy deals, and you know, misappropriated funds that were taken from the public largesse for a specific purpose and redirected it. But I guess, you know, if you're a liberal and you're a Democratic governor, that's okay, I guess.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of after Katrina, when they were just saying the worst things about George W. Bush. And quite frankly, it was, if you look at it, like, it was a lot of the local, you know, the governors, mayors, Mayor of New Orleans, and just state legislature that they didn't do their jobs. I mean, we're kind of seeing it again, where, you know, they want to yell at the president, but then you sort of need to look at that clip you played,
yes.
That montage. It's just like, here's Nancy Pelosi. Come on in to San Francisco, go to Chinatown, whatever. And it's like, yeah, look at yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, but you have to tiptoe to the tulips there before you meet me at the restaurant. Sorry about that, maybe. But we won't talk about that. That's a whole other issue. Seth Meyers, the host of NBC's Late Night, you noted, said Trump has always cared more about the stock market than the public health crisis. He cares more about the Dow than saving lives. It's that simple. I guess maybe along with simple to that statement is it's that stupid. Because it's like, wait a minute, how do you connect the dots? I mean, first of all, that's not even funny. It's not even ironic. It just doesn't make sense on its face.
No, you're right. Well, it's Seth Meyers. He's very smug.
I guess, but, you know, the problem is we've got real issues here, and we do have thousands of people dying, and thank God it's not like the way Governor Cuomo would have led us to believe that there were going to be body bags lying in the streets of New York. So keep up the great work, America. Social distancing, hand cleansing, all that good stuff. Jeff, thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
Now that mortgage rates are at all-time lows, the question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards.
Well, my friends, at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068.
Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-278. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as $1 a day. Call right now for your home security consultation. 800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped 1 million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Along with our commitment to flatten the curve, America, thank you for joining in. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, it's time for the Good News Girl as we take a look at the viral videos of the week. In case you haven't gathered by now in our conversation with Samantha Mao, the husband unit is a doctor. And he's been on the front line. And gosh, Sam, I got to imagine the pride that you have for your husband, you know, for being there for people in need in this, you know, COVID-19 pandemic, which, oh, by the way, even Bill Bennett said it really isn't a pandemic. So this has been a rather dynamic, dynamic disease that, you know, we've gone from absolute hysteria and fear to where we're just about ready to stick our heads out of, you know, out of our holes like Puxatani film to see if we can Puxatani Phil to see if we can see our shadow and get back to work, huh?
Oh yeah, I mean I'm so proud of my husband, of course, and all of the people that work with him and people, you know, across America who are in the healthcare field, and you know they go in and they help people every day, but they haven't always necessarily been worried about being at risk themselves, and they still continue to go in daily, and now they're worried about themselves being at risk and bringing it home to their loved ones, which is really scary, I'm sure, because it's different to put yourself at risk.
Exactly. And many of the doctors, and to your point, and nurses, they're not going home so that they don't, you know, put their families at risk. They're checking in hotels, you know, they're camping out. I mean, this is it is very serious, though it seems that we are getting closer to flattening the curve here and getting on top of this. And maybe this disease, you know, this virus has run a bit of its course. But no doubt there is going to be a new normal for America. You know, the touchy-feely, handshaking, hugging America may be a thing of the past for a while. I don't know how long that's going to take for people to feel comfortable, have human contact, because it's been such a natural thing for Americans to do, right?
Oh, yeah. I think it's really especially hard for people who are big huggers. For example, on Easter, we didn't have our normal family. This is the first time we haven't had Easter in my whole life. So, this is 34 years old, never had went without seeing my family for Easter, which has been very lucky for me. But since we weren't able to do that, I thought I'd deliver some signs and put it out in everyone's yard. So I kind of waved at my family members from a distance and spoke to them and was like, keep yourself back. But it was really hard not to go up and hug them, especially, seeing my grandparents or my nephew or anything like that. And
your grandmother, was your grandmother the one with the sign that says, I need more beer? Is that who it was?
No, but that's somebody's fun, awesome grandma. That lady is pretty funny. She had one beer at night, it looks like.
That is so cool. I love that. This Pennsylvania 93-year-old, if you haven't seen this, this is just absolutely precious because, you love the honesty. In the midst of all the BS and manure that's flying around and everything like that, you get people who are honest, just talking about, I need more beer. Bless her heart.
Oh, yeah. She was really funny. Well, she said it's good for you as long as you don't overdo it. She has her one Coors Light a night.
Yes.
So she's like, so this 93-year-old woman sitting there in quarantine holding up a sign saying, I need more beer, and she got it for Easter, and I love that story. I wish everybody could just put a sign of what they needed, like, right outside their house, but this is pretty funny.
Absolutely hysterical. In Iowa, there was this anonymous donor, this is pretty incredible, gives every household in an Iowa town a $150 gift card for food.
Oh, yeah. So this is in Earlham, Iowa. It started off with an anonymous call to the mayor. His name's Jeff Lilly. And the donor, who wanted to remain anonymous, was saying, I'm going to do this for 100 people. For 100 different families, I want to give $150 worth of gift cards. And he was going to buy from local businesses, so the gift cards would be for food.
Mm-hmm.
And then he calls back later, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to do $250. And then it goes up to $500. And Jeff goes, well, you're very close to giving to almost everybody in this town. That's quite amazing. And the donor's like, you know what? Go ahead and give it to there's 549 households in this town.
Mm.
And they end up spending over $80,000.
Wow.
To give money to this. And they even have a slot where families who maybe don't. So they just gave it across the board to everybody. So if there are some families who don't need it, they can just return it.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be used to purchase for other families who maybe need it more.
Right.
And not only did that really help those families, but it really injected some life back into those businesses that were struggling to stay open. Or, these people live in a smaller town in a smaller area, and they've really been hit hard. So
exactly.
I love something like that.
Isn't that an amazing thing about kindness? How you talk about how far kindness can go, and yes, we're this is the Easter season and all that goes with it, and people are frustrated that they couldn't go to their places of worship, even in some cases like in Kentucky where they did, the police were noting license plate numbers and chasing people away when they were maintaining obviously some social distancing to the point that even the judge says get out of here.
Right.
That's ridiculous. And, but clearly what it points out is that there is still an attack on our First Amendment right, to assemble. And, for a short time under, considering what we're going through and that we didn't know and we still don't know some things, because I think that the truth is being constrained, because I think if the people really knew the truth, they would really go, wait a minute, because the next time that this is going to happen, this is the thing that we need to realize, is that we're being preconditioned for something worse down the road, possibly. And if we don't get down and demand the truth of the matter to understand what it is, why are we giving up our liberties? Why are we not going to church on the holiest day of the year when numbers are being, juiced, when they're not getting real numbers about who actually has COVID, who actually died of COVID? As one doctor said, which I thought, put it in perfect perspective, because the way the system is set up right now, it is set to prejudice these numbers. He said that if a person gets run over by a truck And obviously that's what killed him, but he happened to be asymptomatic or maybe even showed some symptoms of COVID. It's okay. The CDC is saying it is more than acceptable to assume that he died of COVID.
I think that's scary to think that people would abuse the numbers like that, because, you know, nothing's more important than getting accurate data.
Really what's happening, because,
yeah,
I mean, I said, look at the numbers. Look at what's happening with the flu. The flu numbers are up over 60,000. What has been happening lately with the flu numbers? Those flu numbers have gone down. I mean, you know, you talk about we're flattening the flu curve right now, curve number, but not... not so much COVID, because they're juicing these numbers. Anyway, you got a situation also with a bar owner. You go in some bars and there's money hanging on the walls and, you know, they're commemorative or whatever. In this particular pub, $3,700 they had on the walls. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right.
He's lucky some bank robber just said, hey, look at this easy pickings. We're just going to go and, you know, pick it off the walls here. But it stayed there long enough to where he could pull it off the wall and give it to his unemployed staff, right?
So this is, this is actually down in Georgia, right outside of Savannah, at a place called Tybee Island. Mm-hmm. And this is a place called the Sandbar. And, if somebody did try to come in and rob it, they would have to be having a lot of help, because apparently it took the owner 3 days to pull down all this money.
Wow.
3 days to pull it down off of the wall. And they had been having a hard time, you know, paying their staff with everything that's been going on. And what they decided to do was, you know, they've got all this money on the wall. And her name's Jennifer Knox. And she's like, I'm just going to pull it down. She pulls it down one by one. And she ended up being able to give about $600 to each of her employees.
Oh, wow.
And
very cool.
That was along with the contributions that whenever some of their patrons found out what was going on, they actually donated more money. So I guess after everything opens back up, they're just going to have to build that wall again.
Well, you know what's going to happen is the patrons are. That's going to be a tradition. There, you know, you talk about savings for a rainy day, and hopefully she gets an SBA loan. There's a lot of money out there, so much so that the government is saying that, we need another $250 billion to help these small businesses. But it's not been easy. It's been rather tedious for small business owners to process an SBA loan. And after everything is all said and done, whenever you're dealing with a bureaucracy, you always know there's unintended consequences, but get ready. But right now, the need is so immediate that the business owners are willing to put their very souls, and this is what it's coming down to, their souls on the line for, you know, the people's money, which I think is, you know, quite interesting and a whole other discussion altogether. This other story I like, this teen pilot flying medical supplies to rural hospitals in need, huh?
Yeah, okay, so this is crazy to me. TJ Kim, who just turned 16, he doesn't even have his driver's license yet, but he's able to fly. He's just a sophomore up in Virginia. Isn't this amazing?
Exactly.
He's in Bethesda, Maryland, but he's been flying through Virginia to the different rural community hospitals, because sometimes they get forgotten about in all of this. They need supplies too. Whenever all of this started happening, him and his family sat down and they were trying to think, what can he do to still help the community? So his dad started gathering medical supplies, and TJ Kim, 16 years old, is flying it out to these communities.
Wow.
Mask and covers and all that kind of stuff. I think that's just...
As long as he doesn't land on a freeway or something like that, because then give him a ticket, right? Got his pilot license, but not his driver's license. Go figure. I mean, it's such awesome stories, Sam, just like this and others that, are happening around this incredible country that we get to be a part of. And I thank God for that. There's also a great story about the FedEx founder, CEO Fred Smith, that you'll see at Sam's Corner at BillMartinezLive.com. Samantha Mouse. Sam, thank you so much. Be safe, honey. Stay healthy. You got it.
Bye-bye.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollen pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a one-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports, too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow.